Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everybody to Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. As you all know, Pastor Miller and Janet are away. Roy is finishing up a study leave in Princeton, New Jersey and thereabouts, and we'll be traveling back on Wednesday. At least he will start driving back on Wednesday. I think Janet flies back on Tuesday, is that right? Okay. So the announcements mention those travels and say, please pray for journeying mercies as people travel. It'd be good to have them back in a few days. Let us take a moment to quiet our hearts, and then we will have a call to worship in Psalm 34. Let us hear today's call to worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Let us pray. Our God, we are glad to be gathered in your presence this morning. We know that you have not only invited, indeed commanded us to be here, but you have actually made it possible for us to be here. You have given your Son. His blood covers our iniquities. His blood cleanses all of us of all of our sins, and he presents us before you. And now we stand before you under your blessing instead of under your curse. It is good to be with you. It is good to bring our songs and our praises. It is good to bring our prayers. It is good to commune with you. We are glad to be here. We ask that you would take pleasure in our songs, in our psalms, our prayers. And we ask that you would be the precious possession of every person gathered here. Let every person know your Holy Spirit and rejoice in that. We ask that you would meet with us even as you have promised to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
At this time we will read the scripture lesson for this morning. It's in your pew Bible on page 724, if you're looking at one of these. More generally known as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34. Passage appropriate for Communion Sunday. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 to 34. Let us give our ears to the reading of God's word. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions amongst you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. And thus far the reading of God's word. Let us join in prayer, remembering fondly and with affection one another. Our Heavenly Father, you have not only called us to be with you in worship this morning, you have called us to be with one another. The Lord Jesus said he would build his church. By his work and death and resurrection, he has assembled. He has found the ones that you have given him, and he has brought them into the same fold. He is the shepherd of every one of us, and he has brought us to be a part of one another, as well as to be a part of you and of him. Father, as we gather together, we get to see each other's face. Perhaps we miss certain faces that are not amongst us. But one way or another, Father, we would pray for one another. Each of your children is precious to you, and each of your children is precious to the other children as well. So, Father, we do want to lift one another up in prayer. Father, we want to ask that you would accomplish your purposes in each person gathered here. We know that it is a purpose of the Lord Jesus to conform each one of us in his likeness, that he would be the first of many, many brothers. Father, we ask for one another that you would advance that and accomplish that. Break down those harbored sins that are in each one of our lives. Make each one of us love the fruit of the Spirit more. Make us love one another more. Let us study more to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Father, that is how we would pray for one another. And Father, we pray too for your other kinds of blessings upon one another. We ask that you would take care of people in their homes. Father, if there are those who have difficulty gathering daily bread, we ask that you would provide for them. We ask that the communion of the saints would care for them. Father, if there are those who are having difficulty within their families, We ask that you would give them patience. We ask that you would give them wisdom. We ask that you would give them success within their families. The parents would rejoice to see their children growing up in the knowledge of the Lord, becoming His servants as well as His sons. Father, those that we all carry certain cares for extended family members, sisters, cousins, aunts, and uncles. We ask that you would work mightily in extended families, bringing glory to the Lord Jesus there. Father, there is no end of the cares that we could bring to you. We cast all of our cares upon you. We cast the cares of one another upon you as well. Father, we do unite with our brothers and sisters in numerous lands and places. We give you thanks, Father, for servants in those places that are gathering the sheep of the Lord Jesus. Extend your blessings to the sheep of the Lord Jesus wherever they are. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be studying and preaching out of 1 Corinthians 11 at this time. If you wish to turn back to it, you're welcome to. Either way, let us attend to the Word of God. Well, I still remember coming to Lincoln 23 years ago. And 23 years ago, my family, which at that time included everybody but Thaddeus, was welcomed with a meal here. Back then, and maybe still now, there was a lot of attention given to food in Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And maybe it's appropriate that we are having a banquet today. There's a big tradition in Christianity of combining the Lord's Supper and lunch. Or maybe more so, the Lord's Supper and a love feast. Those things are referred to as far back as the Bible, and definitely strongly referred to in early church history. You might say putting the Lord's Supper and the love feast together was kind of standard operating procedure for people back then. Food and food and food, Lord's Supper and lunch. Combination sounds really nice. But if you notice in this passage, we have some unkind words here. In fact, he goes so far as to say, I have no praise for you. He even goes so far as to say, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. You may have some special arrangements in your calendar. You may have made some special meal arrangements. And some of you, he says, definitely eat. But shall I praise you for this? He says, certainly not. Certainly not. Maybe you can imagine a few extra exclamation points there when he says those words. As a matter of fact, he says, rather than praise you, I'm going to explain the experience that you have had with the Lord's discipline. It's like saying, hello, hello, you're doing something wrong. Now, that is just the kind of message you want in a communion service. Am I right? Whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he says, will be guilty. Anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself. And this kind of behavior, he says, results in the Lord's discipline, which he mentions in verse 30. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. It's really not due to the sermon. Due to the judgment of the Lord. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, or maybe chastened if you were looking at the New King James. Here he speaks not of praise for them as a church, he speaks of chastening, discipline. Punishment stemming from their practice of the Lord's Supper if you can believe that. That is tough talk we've got here. And he says it primarily because of someone's table manners. Read verse 21, if you will. In eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. He actually refers to their table manners here. Table manners, if you can believe that. Why such tough talk about table manners? Could these really be connected with the judgment of the Lord? Well, they are. They are, at least when connected with testimony about the death of the Lord Jesus. And this table setting is a testimony. He says, you proclaim the Lord's death with this table. What you genuinely know and believe about Jesus' death is displayed in your behavior. It is displayed in your manners here, and it is displayed in everything else about you. Your behavior as one who bears the name of Jesus is important because there's nothing more important than Jesus or Jesus and his death. And your behavior is important in connection with the Lord's Supper because there's nothing else we do that shows the death of the Lord Jesus more plainly than this table. We call it a sacrament in his body and blood. It's a sacrament of his death. When we say those things, we mean them. So what is so important about this observance, this Lord's Supper, that it should affect everything we do? It should even affect our table manners. I will give you this morning some ways that it is so important. One, first of all, it is a perpetual remembrance of his sacrifice of himself in his death. You can see that clearly in verse 26. If I can find it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God has made a covenant with us. And it is an everlasting covenant for your benefit. You hear his word as he expresses that covenant. You hear his word. You understand the things that are said. You are the people that God has known and God has spoken so that you will know him. And it is a blessing to know him. There may be some hard things in his instructions. Yeah, it is still a blessing to know him. And when God made a covenant, he called for a sacrifice. You can see that again and again and again. Two important examples, I guess, you can see if you were to look at Genesis 15 or Exodus 24. Sacrifice made the covenant serious. It showed God means it. It showed the people mean it. But there really had to be a perfect sacrifice in order to take away sins and please God. And only God could provide that. But God did that. God put forth his Son to remove sin from the people. To remove sin from the people so that God could fulfill his promises, especially the promise of forgiveness of sins or the promise of being their God and being in their midst. If you remember that Jesus' death was for your sins, so that you are humbled before God and before others, then you remember his death correctly. You proclaim his death correctly. And you participate in this, the perpetual remembrance of Christ's death, correctly. It is the perpetual remembrance of his sacrifice of himself in his death. Secondly, it's the seal of all of the benefits of Christ's death to true believers. God has made a lot of promises. Just think of things like forgiveness of sins, eternal life, promise of his pleasure, the promise of being a joint heir or a joint ruler with Christ, the promise of joy at his heavenly banquet table. A lot of promises God has made. You have heard them all, and I hope you have believed what you have heard, because that is the way to receive those promises. God has spoken, and you have taken it in, taken in God's words, and believe him. But God does more than that. He does more than just speaking. He gives you a token. He gives you a taste. He lets you see something. He says, this is for you. He's promised you a banquet, and he has sent some of the food in advance. That's how he puts his seal upon those promises. You have a visual sign that makes the message official. Take, eat, and drink, Jesus said. Take, eat, and drink. And no one can ever take that away from you after you have eaten and drunken. Of course, taking these things is wrong if you don't believe. It is everything right if you do, but taking these things is wrong if you don't believe. There's been a couple of times in my life where I have given somebody jewelry. Once or twice it was Tamar, twice it was Sherry. But there was a time when I gave Sherry something really important. I gave her a ring with a small diamond on top of it. I gave it to her wanting her to marry me, really wanting her to marry me. I assume she was taking it, really wanting to marry me also. It would have been a shame. It would have been an awful thing. What?
Travesty.
It would have been a travesty. Probably better words than that, but that's good enough. It would have been a travesty if she had taken that ring with no interest in me or no interest in marrying me. Signs and seals of the promises of God, he shows you with this what he means. Your taking it shows what you mean. Thirdly, it nourishes you spiritually and builds you up in the Lord. You eat and you drink. You eat and you drink, and you can't help but participate in genuine meditation upon his death. Words help that, but signs help that also. And paying attention is the way you grow. You eat and you drink. You take the bread and the cup, and you are reminded of the goodness of God. We read from Psalm 34 at the beginning of the service. Well, whoever it was who put the Psalter together, put the Psalms in different order, had the brains to recognize something good connecting Psalm 33 and Psalm 34. In Psalm 33, it says, the earth is full of the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord. And Psalm 34 has the words, taste with me and see that the Lord is good. Somebody had the smarts to put those two together for my sake, if nobody else's. You eat and you drink, and you are reminded of the goodness of God. Now, sadly, it is possible to eat and to drink and only to demand more. Jesus himself said that to some people in John chapter 6 after he had fed 5,000. He goes away to pray, and people come and say, how did you get here? He says, you came looking for me not because you saw and believed the signs and miracles. You came looking for me because of the food. It is possible to eat and only demand more. But if you eat and drink humbly, if you eat and drink worthily, you acknowledge God's goodness and you are truly fed. You eat and you drink worthily, humbly, you show what is really important to you. You show the nourishment that you really, really want and long for and are glad to have. Fourthly, it shows that you are engaging in all your duties. As you eat, you are urged in this passage to recognize the Lord's body. His body was broken for you. You were broken in sin. Jesus was broken to heal you. He emptied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, finally dying for your sake. He died for you. You are presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice when you are eating the meal provided by the suffering servant. The disciples were there with Jesus that night. The disciples were the ones who were committed to following Jesus, and they ate. Moses and the elders of Israel ate before the Lord after saying that they would do all that he had said. You eat the meal and you show whom you are joining. You are committing yourself to him. And you dare not mistreat the one you declare your loyalty to after he has made such a great declaration of love to you. It shows you are engaging in all your duties as a member of his covenant. And fifthly, it is a bond and pledge of your communion, your fellowship with him and with each other. You know, Jesus right now is in heaven. Jesus could be enjoying that heavenly banquet right now. But he has promised not to partake of that, not to eat of it again until he eats with us. And instead of pleasing himself in heaven, he has promised to be with us, even to the end of the world. 10:21 says, we drink the cup of the Lord. We sit at his table. Jesus has shown whom he wants for company by spreading this table. You really don't want communion with anybody else but Jesus. Don't want it with false gods. Don't want it with failed company. You don't want communion with anybody else except Jesus and except with those who belong to him. We eat together. Whoever is important to Jesus should be important to you. That is why table manners can be so important. Table manners show whom you care about. They show whom you want around. God wants you to want others. Years ago, I pastored a church, and while I was pastoring the church, there were some people in the church who were pretty enthusiastic about things that we were doing. They liked the Bible studies, they liked a few of the sermons and things like that. And now and then they would say, how can we help this church function better? And as long as we were at that time sitting around a table, I said, all right, imagine that you are here around a supper table. And if you really like it, by all means, take in everything you possibly can. But if there's somebody else who wants to join us at the table, do everything you can to make room for them. Right now, this table may seem just big enough for you and me. But if other people show up wanting to participate as well, do everything you can to help them find a seat. Do everything you can to include them, to welcome them, to make them want to be here with you. God wants you to want others. Ezekiel 34 talks about some sheep that God condemns because they make it impossible or hard for other sheep to eat. They spoil the food, they muddy the water. It's the middle of chapter 34 in Ezekiel if you want to see that. God's upset with those who are like that. Says those sheep are wrong. He will have to send a better shepherd to fix things, to make things right. We should want others fed. We should even want unbelievers here so they can see what goes on. Learn, observe, possibly come to faith. These are the things that we should want. This table is a bond and pledge of your communion or fellowship with Jesus and with everyone that Jesus loves. The Lord's Supper, like the Lord's covenant, should affect everything we do because it speaks to us of everything that God has done. And I urge you, remember all of this. Don't just take. God shows you the death of Jesus. Be sure you recognize that. And remember all that he has said. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us so graciously, so lovingly, so helpfully, so gently. We realize that we are invited into serious things, but we are also invited into things that you have made and the things that you sustain. We are brought in by your grace, by your service. We are brought in to participate. Father, we give you thanks for serving us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. We've already read these words, but I will read them again. I'll read just a small part of the passage we used earlier. These are the words of institution of the Lord's Supper. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, a few moments ago, I basically told you everything that I know about the Lord's Supper. And if it sounded familiar, it's not too different from what is summarized here for us in our order of service. Let me read these things about the Lord's Supper to cement them in our minds and our hearts as we join together. You can keep her here if you want. I'll just yell louder. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance, the sacrifice of himself and his death. Physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his covenantal body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God, and they call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. We have words of warning that are not too different from the warnings that we read in Scripture. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach the holy table lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners and without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ, confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Base our hope of eternal life upon His perfect obedience and righteousness, and we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, crucify our old natures, and follow Christ as becomes those who bear His name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Let us take a moment to examine ourselves and determine whether such discernment is ours. Lord God, these things that we can touch and handle, indeed use, benefit from, they are samples of the goodness of your creation, the goodness of what you have filled the earth with, for our sake, indeed for the feeding of all creatures, especially us. We are blessed to know these things. We are blessed to receive these things. We are blessed as Christians to recognize them as tokens, representations of the shed body, the broken body, and the shed blood of Christ. Thank you. Thank you for providing them, and thank you for using them in a way of ministering to us, a way of providing for us, a way of bonding us with Christ for our blessing and for His glory. We give you thanks, Father, for the bread and the cup. We give you thanks, Father, for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, your servant, your son. We do this in His name, Father. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, you can keep playing if you want, having taken bread and blessed and broken it, gave it to His disciples, as I, ministering His name, give this bread unto you, saying, take, eat, this is my body which has given for you, this do in remembrance of me. This is His body. Do this in remembrance of Him. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as has been done in His name, He gave it to His disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in His blood. Drink of it, all of you. Bless you, God. Thanks. God, our souls have always needed nourishing. That was true when we were created. It became especially true when we fell. Became sinful as well as needy. We are thankful for all the ways that you have nourished your people. We are thankful especially for this way. We have taken in your tokens. We have received what you have offered. We have done that in faith. We have done that in hope. You will use all of these things to bring us into that likeness of the Lord Jesus, to bring us into that final time where we are blessed in all ways forever. Our God, we give you our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.